Good evening and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Jan from California. Welcome, Jan.
Thank you.
Great to have you on the air. Great to have you on the air. And I'm expecting another guest here, and I don't see that person yet. So why don't we just get started with you, and then if the other person comes along, we'll add them right in.
Good. Maybe technical difficulties.
Who knows? Who knows? Jan, I understand you are just back from Africa.
Yes, it was a wonderful trip to
Great.
Zambia and the Living Compassion Project in Cantalumba.
Wonderful. Tell us all about it.
Well, it felt like a major privilege to be there. I'll tell you, when we first drove up, our first day that we were there, it was pretty overwhelming to see all that has been accomplished through Living Compassion. I mean, we drove up, and you go through some pretty tough areas as far as poverty and the whole environment. And the compound of Living Compassion is just like this oasis. The building is almost complete. It is just beautiful. There are now trees planted there. You know, of course, there's a well, the water is coming in. People are coming all day long to get water there. It was just amazing to drive in.
Wow, that's great. That's great.
Yeah.
You said oasis, and I immediately thought of practice. Practice is an oasis.
Well, you know, yeah, that refuge. It really is, at least what I project, a refuge for the community that, you know, it is a very, very poor area, probably the poorest of the poor in Ndola, and you know, there is this amazing source of water, clean water now, that has changed lives there. I mean, Evan and I, my son and I, did a project of interviewing staff, and one of the things we asked them is what kind of difference it's made having Living Compassion there. And you know, over and over again we heard clean water, because you know, people are not dying like they were from the illnesses that came from unclean water. Cholera, as an example, is very seldom a problem there now. And anyway, it was wonderful to see. And healthy kids. I mean, they're getting fed through the project, and you can just see that they're thriving. So it was a privilege to be there and to be part of it and to help out in any ways that we could while we were there.
Yes, and as you're saying, clean water sounds like it's made a huge difference.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, for anyone. And, of course, the meal program, you know, is feeding, almost 400 kids now. And we got a chance to work a little bit with the women in the sewing co-op and help them move into the new building. They were in a very dark room that, oh, gosh, I don't know how they got the sewing done. But anyway, they're now in the new building.
Yeah.
And have good light and electricity, and it's beautiful. And interestingly, the day that we arrived was the first day of an operating flush toilet for the building.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's very convenient.
Very, very convenient.
Yes.
So, you know, that all these things, you know, that we just take for granted in our lives are just now, through Living Compassion, becoming part of what's going on there. So they'll soon have the showers operating, and the medical, you know, the building includes a very large room for a medical clinic. There is a classroom and a sewing co-op in another room. And there are a couple other additional rooms that will be used for, you know, upcoming projects.
Yeah, it sounds really, really wonderful. And as you said, we take all of this for granted. And I know intellectually at some level that it's a privilege to have clean water and a roof over my head and enough food to eat. And much of the time it remains an intellectual understanding, and which for me is one really great reason why I like to be involved in the Africa Project, because I hear firsthand from people I know, like you, who've been there and can see the difference that it's making and hear from their own voices the change that is being made.
Yeah, that's certainly so. And, you know, meeting Teresa, you know, we all have heard of her for so long, and getting a chance to meet her and get to know her And, you know, as you know, she's going to be visiting very soon in many locations in the United States. And for the Bridge Walk is our honored guest. And, you know, it became pretty evident what an amazing person she is and the gifts she brings, because she really hits the entire effort there. You know, we met the staff of about 34 people who all work under her, you know, supervision are just very dedicated, talented, and many English-speaking at this point. It was really fun because, from what we hear, this is one of the first times that the staff has wanted to practice their English, which was very fun for us.
Oh, great.
Yeah. And that certainly helps them in all the things that they're working toward. The more English you have in Zambia, the further ahead you can get in many ways for business and, you know, survival skill.
Great. Jan, I have good news. And that is that our other good news update person has joined us. And so I'd like to welcome Evan to our show. Welcome, Evan.
Hi, Michael.
How are you?
Good.
Great. It's great to have you on the air with us.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Great. Tell us a little bit about your experience in Africa.
My experience was great. I was sort of nervous when we first got there because it was weird being basically the only white people in a majority black area, and I thought it'd be like a really sketchy experience. But once I got to know the place, the people were so friendly and welcoming. I thought it was really beautiful by the end of the trip.
That's great. I love that experience. When I come in with a certain mindset about how things are going to be, particularly if I think I'm going to be scared or nervous, and then you're there and you have that experience and it's completely different.
Yeah, it definitely was.
Great. And I understand that you also helped to interview some of the staff.
What was that?
I understand that you were helping to interview some of the staff also, is that correct?
Yeah, I was impressed by their English and how they've been practicing, and it's sort of like a contest going who can improve their English the best, and it was a great experience overall.
Oh, great. And is there one experience or a couple of experiences that really stood out for you in particular as fun or exciting or along those lines?
Yeah, one of the staff, Shadrick, who worked there, I was impressed because his answer was really different from the others about his hopes and dreams for the compound, and it was basically that he wanted to be like this great person and found his own compound and start his own little community to help others where others had been just asking for donations and such.
Uh-huh. Now I missed the first part of your sentence. Who was this person you were talking with?
Shadrick. He was one of the men's staff, yeah.
Oh, okay. And he was telling you that if I heard you correctly, that other groups had come and gone. Is that right?
What?
Why don't you say that again? I can make sure I can understand you.
Oh, his name was Shadrick. He was one of the male staff members that worked there.
Yeah, and tell me about his experience.
His answers are really different from the others about his hopes and dreams for the area, because he himself wanted to be this great person and emulate what Sherry had done and sort of create his own compound and help the community in that.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Great. That's exciting. And I remember, I'm not sure if you've read all the blogs, but I was really excited to read that the staff in Cantalumba really want to take on what they've done as a model and share it with other places within Cantalumba or within Zambia, and also to take responsibility for feeding the children, which I'm just so amazed and excited about.
Yeah, definitely. They all express the need to feed everyone in the area, because they all knew that it was a really only a small percentage that had been fed or helped out out by the program, but they wanted to expand it to everyone that was there.
Yes. Wonderful. Wonderful. Dan, any other experiences you'd like to share with us?
Well, just I guess just adding to what Evan said, when we he and I sort of teamed up on the interviews, and what was so impressive, at least left an impression, certainly with both of us, is that going along with what you said, the staff really, they want to make sure that everybody is fed. They know there are a lot more kids to be fed, and they are, you know, they're willing to do whatever it takes to make sure that that sort of the plenty is shared with all. And that, Evan brought up an example that when we were talking, seeing one of the children who had been given a cracker, and she took a bite out of it, and she didn't finish it. She gave the rest of it to her little sister, because sharing, you just, you know, that's just part of what goes on. And there's that sense throughout the community that, you know, that everyone's to be taken care of. And that was pretty inspiring.
Yeah, it sounds really wonderful. And again, it seems to me that it mirrors practice. You know, what is most compassionate for all? Nobody's left out. We're all included. We all have a place at the table. What can we do to include everybody?
That seems to certainly be what's going on in Cantalamba.
Wonderful. Dan, Evan, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks so much, Michael.
Okay, good night.
Have a good show.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Good evening, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael.
How are you?
Good. It was very, very fun to hear our cohorts talk about
yes.
the experience.
Yes.
Yeah. It was.
Yes.
It was great. And how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. It's
you've
another
been,
beautiful day in California.
Yeah, and you've been holding down the fort,
so to speak.
Yeah, I know. Of course, I have no idea what was going on, but I can only guess you had some marvelous folks filling in for me and. Lots of good news to report, and I'll be excited to catch up.
It's a great team.
Yeah, it is a great team. It's a great team here. It's a great team there. And bridging those two worlds is something that is, as Jan and Evan both indicated, and people who are following along with the blog, I mean, it's happening.
Yes.
It is coming together there. In fact, I'll tell you this one thing, this one little story that I think will be in the blog. I have, you know, insider information. Jan is still there. She'll leave tomorrow, whatever that is, 9 hours ahead of us, with Teresa to come back over here. But Eunice, whose guest house it is that we stay at, and her younger sister, Gertrude, who's fashion designer,
yes.
went and visited Cantalamba. I don't think this has been in the blog yet, has it?
Nope.
They were completely impressed by the sewing cooperative, just stunned.
Wow.
In fact, Eunice took Chitenge out there to have a skirt made because that's what we were doing, and so she wanted to be like us and have a Chitenge
yeah.
skirt. And the women made like 4/5 of the skirt while the visit was going on.
Wow.
And so Eunice has all of these ideas about things that she wants the sewing cooperative to make for the guest house and then to talk to other people in other guest houses and other local businesses about things that they need to have made that can be made in Cantalamba.
Yeah.
And Gertrude is going to have the sewing cooperative sew all of the things that she designs. So this has been just such a dream of ours, not to try to make things and bring them across the ocean
yeah.
and sell them in the United States, but to
yeah.
have something that works with the local economy. And
yeah.
And it's happening. So it's, you know, you mentioned the how impressive it is and inspiring it is that they want to be self-supporting and be able to feed the children themselves and expand the program. And they have very concrete things that are coming together that are going to actually enable them to do that.
Wow.
So it's really, it's amazing.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
It sounds extraordinary.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Yeah, I'm just thinking about the willingness and the reciprocity. And it seems like, for me, particularly with practice, to have a model, to see someone, to see a group of people who are doing it, really makes it more concrete for me in a way that's not possible otherwise.
Yes, yes. And I'm hoping, of course, that that's what's going to happen increasingly. In fact, one of the little schemes that we hatched while we were there is there's so many people in the United States and around the rest of the developed world that want to contribute, want to help, are really moved by the plight of people less fortunate financially, but don't really know how to do it. And there's just such an opportunity for groups of people to come in and, with our assistance, do what we're doing over there with that community. So, you know, we have like 2,600 or whatever it is more children in that one community who need to eat and go to school. Well, we can assist people. You know, say, at somebody's workplace, they want to make a contribution. Well, they can agree that they're going to feed and educate 20 kids as a group, and then we would oversee that.
Yeah.
And in that way, to begin to expand so that everybody is in relationship with everybody, which, of course, is, where we need to go if we're going
yeah.
to put a lot of our problems behind us.
Yes, yes. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Did anybody call to talk to us?
Yes, indeed. Are you ready?
Sure.
Okay.
Thanks, Michael.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry and Michael. This is Chris from Seattle.
Hey, Chris.
Hi.
Hello.
Is this a night off?
It is.
Very good.
Right. And yes, it is very good to have a night off. And just when I was thinking, I wasn't sure what I was going to talk about. I get a happy, blessed opportunity with my kids just now. Just I had a block of time before the show on where we could play and go walk up to the school and mess around. And they were fighting and crying with each other continuously, and it was. I ended up with only a few minutes left to go up to the school and then be able to come back. And it was a sort of a frustrating time. Well, not sort of. It was a frustrating time. And
this kind of wears you down, doesn't it?
It does, you know. And we spent most of the day together. We had some time apart. But and it actually, I'm reminded of something that several months ago, or however long it was, you got us on this program where we could have a little meeting in the afternoon or the evenings
yeah.
and then talk about stuff. Did you call that?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. And there's been a few times when the most frustrating thing in the day has been the children. And once or twice, one of us has mentioned that during the meeting. I don't know. It occurs to me maybe that I don't want the kids to hate it. I don't want the meeting to turn into I'm frustrated because of you.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, it is what's, you know, it is like, you know, the highlight frustrating moment of the day, especially probably even more so for my wife since she's at home with them more often. And I'm sort of, I just don't have a good feeling on how to proceed in, we kind of got away from the meetings for a while. We've been getting back into it, and I know they're helpful and a good thing to do, and they're just helpful.
Can I ask you about that?
Please.
Have you ever asked the kids for kind of problem solving advice?
No.
In other words, if they're, you know, you're trying to do something and they're picking at each other and fighting and arguing and carrying on,
mm-hmm.
to ask each one of them, how would you suggest we handle this? What should we do? Because It's really, it's difficult and unpleasant. And so clearly the kinds of things that we're attempting to do with you are not being well received or successful. So what would you suggest? What would really work for you people in this situation so that this can be different? What do you need? You know, what would you suggest in order to have this, have life be the way you'd like it to be? Just see what they say.
That sounds like a good idea. I don't think I've ever asked that.
I do hope when you do that that you will report back, because I'm just kind of wildly curious to know what they would say. And, of course, one of the things that may actually be true is that they are enjoying their interaction. And if that's the case, that would be really interesting to know, too.
It doesn't look like they are, at least in the past 45 minutes.
Right.
yeah,
I know what you mean. And yet, oftentimes, people will do things that they claim not to enjoy, and yet you can't stop them from doing it. So, you know, the fact that we say we don't like something doesn't necessarily mean we don't like it.
Right. Or a part of us likes it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, it can be as simple as, I enjoy on a certain level, it's a funny way to describe it, but I enjoy being unhappy. You know, it makes me the center of the universe. I get a lot of attention. I get to be right. There's kind of an illusion of being in control. So there can be a lot of compelling arguments for a behavior that we're taught to say, I don't like this.
Yes. Okay, I can see that. Yeah, because it's just, I would like them to be happy together. And I've told them, you know, I had two older brothers, and I said, you know, when we were younger, we weren't particularly close. You know, I was the younger brother, I got picked on, and blah, 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 and the older one picked on the middle one, and whatever. And now that we're adults, we get along well, and we have friendships, even though one of us lives pretty far away. And I would just like, it would be nice if they could have a friendship, a good friendship before they're in their 20s or 30s. But which is not to say that they often play very well together for a long time at a stretch. I'm probably got a bit of myopic about this, you know, one specific time period where they're not getting along. They do get along a lot of the time. But you know, I just want them to be happy with each other.
Right. Well, and of course, again, you know, we can have unrealistic expectations, right? Because we don't always want to get along with people. You know, we're not always in good mood or always happy or enjoying somebody's company. And so, you know, again, back to the problem-solving thing, just kind of an interesting, you know, this it feels really unpleasant to me when this is going on. So, what do you guys think? You know, should I just leave the room, or would you agree to go to your own corner and wait until, you know, whatever it is? Or are you enjoying this? Does this get rid of some excess energy? You know, is it a way of for them to offload their frustrations during the day? You know, what is it? What's actually going on, and what would people be willing to do to make it different?
Yeah, I'll try that.
Yeah.
And something you just said right before that, when I would like the kids to get along with each other, and at the same time, of course, an unrealistic expectations. You know, I don't necessarily get along with whoever else in my life, so I can see it also as a projection exercise where I want those people to get along with each other, so I don't have to look at where I'm not getting along with my wife or with a coworker or with anything else.
Yep. There you go. That feels right, doesn't it? And
it does.
Even in the circumstance, you know, they're fighting or whatever it is that they're doing. I don't like it. I'm not interested in getting along with them. I want them to be different. I want them to stop.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's easy for us to see. So there I am looking at them. They're doing whatever it is that they're doing because they're annoyed or, you know, whatever is going on. And then I look at myself and say, yeah, and I feel basically the same way. I find them really annoying. I just want to start picking at them and telling them what's wrong with them. And I want to basically act exactly the way they're acting toward each other. But that's not
okay.
But
I'm not allowed to because I'm a grown-up.
Exactly. So then my only choice is to get them to stop. And, so that if they stop, then I'll feel better. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's all a workshop.
Oh, it certainly is.
Yeah. All right. Well, try that one on them and let us know what happens. If it works, we could be onto something big here.
Uh-huh. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much, Sherry.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Good night.
Good night to both of you.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Chris. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, I could relate to all of that.
Why? It's just it's true everywhere all the time with us, isn't it?
Yes.
You know, I mean, we could plug in any relationship there, any two people. You know, it could be coworkers. You know, I'm in a job and I have these coworkers who are always bickering. And, you know, after a while, I want to jump in there and do the same thing, except of course I can't hold on to my position of being different. And so, you know, that desperate, if they don't stop, I'm going to kill them both kind of feeling. Yeah.
Yes. We have some more callers here.
Right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Caroline calling from Copenhagen, Denmark.
Well, hello.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
I didn't know what to say. Good night, good morning, good day.
It's 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
that's
I thought that was the
it
case.
Sounds like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, what's going on?
Well, you know, we have our own little key group over here.
Yes.
And we have it every Monday night. And on Monday, we were reading from the key, the book, and it said, no one, no thing can take your peace, your joy, your adequacy away from you. And when I heard that, there was a little voice that said, well, you know, then of course it goes on to say that we have to give it up voluntarily. And I
right.
thought, what do I give my peace and joy up for? And the word is, it's stress and busyness. And that's why I'm calling you. Because there was a little voice that said, you know, it's not possible for me to hold on to peace and joy because my list of things to do is, you know, it just goes on, and it's not even, you know, it's not sort of silly things I think of that I have to do, you know, I don't know, I have to play badminton or something. It's just, which isn't that silly either, but, you know, it's the cooking, it's the cleaning, it's the shopping, it's looking after my daughter, it's trying to get exercise, it's going to work. And so there was a voice saying, you know, a bit of a martyr voice saying, poor me, you know, I'm a victim in my own life here. I'm so squeezed, you know, I can never be sort of super zen. And then there was another voice I could hear, which was a person, perhaps quite a young person, who was actually suffering because she never gets the rest that she needs. You know, I feel like I'm pushing myself, and I have an issue with sugar addiction, and that's where I go to. You know, like even last evening, I felt so tired. I thought, okay, I mean, tonight I can just totally justify going down to 7-Eleven, getting a tub of Ben and Jerry's, and just vegging out on the sofa with this tub of sugar. and that's how hard I drive myself.
Yeah, and of course, we all know that that is the worst thing you could do, right?
I know, and to be honest with you, I realized that it's a different voice saying that. You know,
yeah.
there's the mantra, and then there's, you know, the kind of the person that actually really needs the rest, the little person that I'm not properly looking after. And then there's a different voice, which is the sugar addict, which says, well, the best way to look after the girl suffering is to give her, you know, this.
Give
and
her a big
third
shot
voice.
Of sugar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I guess my question is about the busyness, you know, because the kind of list in my head, the feeling of being squeezed, you know, I feel like it's rooted in real things that have to be done.
Right. Well,
you know, what I'm struggling with is how do I find the time to actually clean my house? And
well,
I think that's
the,
a pretty
the,
basic thing. So
yeah, but the
how
thing,
do I balance it?
The thing about it is, it seems to me, and this is a question. Is it actually the stuff in your life that it's true? I mean, you have to eat. You know, you have to go to the grocery store and buy the food and feed your family, and you know, all of that is true. But does the stress come more from the fact that all of that is true, or from the conversation inside your head?
Yeah, because I know, you know, I'm talking about content, but I feel I'm very caught up in it.
Yes, well, and it's true. I mean, when you get up in the morning, your life is probably pretty well scheduled until you go to bed at night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, now you know this, but I'm going to tell you anyway, okay? So there's getting up in the morning and knowing that, okay, I've got to, you know, get the baby up, and we've got to do the feed her, and then we've got to have breakfast, and then we've got to get ready to go to work, and we've got to, you know, right down through the day. Okay, so there is the experience of going through that with somebody saying, you're doing a great job, this is amazing, excellent, another meal, let's put a check mark next to fed the family one more time. And you were even creative. You gave them yogurt instead of, you know, whatever it is, that you've got that person there talking over your shoulder, watching you and telling you what a great job you're doing. Or you go through the day with somebody pointing out what you're doing wrong, what you're not getting done, giving you an endless list of things that you're probably not going to be able to get to until that child goes to college. Okay. So there's the one experience of being supported by somebody who's on your side, and the other being harassed by somebody who really is invested in you winding up on that sofa with a tub of Ben and Jerry's and then beating you up after you finish it.
Yeah, I think it's the latter voice that I live with.
Yes, I think so too. And you know,
yeah, because I mean, like,
go ahead.
Well, I like, for example, this morning I noticed how a resistance to every little task.
Yeah.
You know, and they're domestic tasks. You know, oh, now I have to clear away from breakfast. Then I have to empty the dishwasher. I even have to get dressed. How boring.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
It doesn't make it any easier.
No. In fact, that's what makes it hard. That's the only thing that is hard about it. Now, and I hope you hear this in the spirit in which I say it, okay? We were just talking earlier, Michael and Jan and Evan, talking about being in Cantalomba and the fact that people now have clean water. Okay? Clean water. There's no dishwater. Okay, there's no, I have to unload the dishwasher because there's no dishwasher because there's no electricity because there's no house to put it in because there's no, you with me?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so
gratitude.
When we are in the grip of that voice, we forget, and we are talked into forgetting how really amazing it is. Let's just start with the basics. We're alive. We're strong and we're healthy. You know, you can get up and walk around the house and do those tasks, those chores that are available because your loved ones are there and they're alive. And okay, so, you know, we don't often think about it in those terms when we are listening to a voice that tells us what a drag, what a misery our life is. But we can all, when we stop and think about it, know that a day is going to come when it's going to be over.
Yeah.
And
I know, I just buried my grandmother.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she was once a young woman. You know, once a new mother.
Yeah.
Once,
she was.
Yeah. And the thing about it, we can guess that her life was pretty much like ours. And all we can hope is that she enjoyed it. Not that her house was always clean, not that meals were always on time, not that, you know, all of those things that that voice would tell us are important, but that she enjoyed her loved ones, that she took the time to feel the sun on her skin and watch the clouds go across the sky and play with her babies.
I'm sitting here wondering, you know, would it really be possible to, you know, if I swap the voices, would it really feel that different?
Yes, it would.
The life that I have, you know, without having made any changes externally.
Yes, it would. I can promise you it would.
I'd certainly like to practice.
Pardon me?
I'd certainly like to practice it.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can, right? So if you got up in the morning and you were there with your best friend, your sister, your whoever it is that you like to be with and do things with, and the two of you haven't seen each other for a long time, and you're going to spend the day together, and you don't get to go anywhere because you have a family and you have to go to work, whatever. But you're going to have the time together that you have together. Think you would enjoy the chores?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be done in a different light.
That's right. And so that's the person, that's who we're finding, is the person who really loves to be with you, enjoys your company, has fun with you.
I do think one of the things that I do that undermines me is that I just, going to bed, I just drag it out, and it's just perhaps that hour later than I should be. And so I'm physically tired by having not slept quite enough, and that's a state I kind of live in constantly. You know, and we're talking about, you know, I get 7 hours instead of 8 or something. You know, it's not ridiculous,
but just enough.
The tiredness makes me an easy victim.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So one of the things that you can do for her is help her to get enough sleep. Now, let me ask you this. By the time you go to bed, is the baby already in bed?
Yes.
Yeah? So you could make your bedtime ritual as loving and nurturing as I'm guessing you try to make hers.
Wow. Okay.
Don't you think?
Well, it's certainly an interesting idea. I could come up with some. I never thought of it.
Huh? We don't. We're not trained to think of it. We're trained to do for others and approach ourselves with an attitude of deprivation.
Yeah, that's exactly how it feels.
But
there is, I mean, there is another thing that ties in with this busyness, which is sometimes, you know, like, this is often my problem in the evening, because my daughter actually goes to bed at 7, and I ideally, well, ideally, I think I should be in bed by 9:30 to sleep for 10, but those hours I have to myself in the evening, I don't always know how to look after myself in those hours.
Yeah.
Because often I feel like I'm too tired to go to my studio and make some art. Or, and my, if my my husband asks me, what does your heart say? What do you need? And it immediately goes from my heart and up to my head. I can't hear, you know, and then I don't know what I'm supposed to. I don't know, because by then I'm actually already so shattered, but I can't get myself to go to bed at 7. And then it becomes, everything goes up into my head, and I try to work it out, and I get stuck up there.
Okay. You know, or remember, I'll remind you, the non-dominant hand exercise. So here's what you do.
Oh, I don't know that.
Oh, okay. Well, you put the pen or the pencil in your dominant hand. Are you right-handed?
Yeah.
Okay. So you put it in your right hand, and you write on your piece of paper, what do you need? And then you put the pen or the pencil in your non-dominant hand, and you let that pen or pencil write the answer. And that's the clearest I can say it, because I can promise you it's going to feel like automatic writing, like somebody takes over your hand and starts talking to you. Okay? And what?
Okay.
What,
and
but,
this,
yeah.
This works more than once.
Pardon me?
This works more than once because I
oh,
need
yes.
something I can do almost every night.
Oh, yes, absolutely. In fact, what you'll be doing is creating a relationship with that young part of you who needs your attention.
Okay.
And so as the relationship grows and deepens, she will probably tell you different things. So sometimes she may want to go to the studio and do some art, and that would be really restful and rejuvenating for you. And other times she might want to take a hot bath, or she might want to, you know, just sit and color. Yeah.
Well, that was really, it's nice. It's great. It's so concrete.
Yeah. Yeah. Try it and let us know, okay?
Okay.
Right, your assignment.
Yep.
Okay.
Now
you
can
go. Now you can go get some sleep.
Yeah, but what happens after these calls is, of course, I lie awake for about an hour, and then I beat myself up because I can't fall asleep. But
okay, well then it's a perfect time to do the exercise.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and you could even start it off like at a time like this, what would you like from me, or what do you need to hear, or what would take care of you? Let the little person answer you.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I'll do it straight away.
Good.
Okay, beautiful.
Thanks.
Thank you very much, Sherry.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Michael. Bye-bye.
You're
bye-bye.
Welcome.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Caroline. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to take our sponsor breaks now, and then we'll be right back.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
do if you knew you could not fail? How free would you be? How deep would you love, dear? What would you hear if you listened to your beautiful heart?
This music by Trish Bruxford Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
What if you bathed in an ocean of roses? What if you swam in a river of joy?
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have many callers.
Right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Carolyn in Boise.
Hi there.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Well, I think I'm okay. I'm calling because I've been hearing a couple of things a lot lately.
Uh-huh.
And I think maybe the best thing to do is to just say them out loud and, you know,
yeah,
see if the earth cracks open or anything dire happens. And this sort of seems like the best place to try that out.
Excellent.
So one of the voices, and I guess I've probably heard this for many, many years without really identifying it before, but it's the voice that keeps saying that, oh, you know, I'm deficient, I'm missing parts. And I just only recently realized how big that is to me. It's actually kind of an organizing belief, I think. And I'm suspecting that there's a whole cast of characters that have kind of been assembled to either disprove it or prove it, or maybe both. I'm not sure, but I think the most important thing about that has been that, you know, my job is to make sure other people don't know that, to hide it. And so having just unhidden it, I think, is just probably the whole purpose of having called.
Well,
so that's good. That's there, I guess.
Yes, and this is so big. Okay, this is so big. I'm hoping that everybody who's listening to this is going to take it in and apply it to themselves. Okay, and so this is what is so thrilling to me about your awareness, because what you've caught on to is karma and how karma stays in place. So,
go ahead. Well, I was just going to say, I'm not sure that I even really know what you mean by karma.
Okay. So I'm going to tell you. As soon as something is framed a particular way, so if I say German shepherds are vicious dogs, okay, and I believe that. I deeply believe that. In fact, I believe it so deeply that I don't even know I believe it. It's just how it is. It's just true. And so every experience that I have with a German shepherd is going to reinforce that. Not because the experience actually would, but because I interpret the experience through the belief.
Yeah, I think well, maybe everybody, I think I certainly in some ways believe what I want to believe, and everything reinforces it that
That's
I
right.
see.
And what you're pointing at with this that is so important is that this is a belief that had reached the level of assumption. It's just a given. And because that was the orientation, that was the place that you were standing to look at all of life, then everything that you experienced reinforced that. So everything proved that you were missing essential pieces. Then it sets up the duality that you mentioned. So everything then is an attempt to either see how that is, prove that that is not true, or deal with the reality that it is true.
Yeah,
and
so
the whole thing is bogus.
Either way is bogus.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
It never was true. It never was true. It can't be true. And
well,
yet,
there are.
And yet, when we, as soon as we are convinced in the way that you're describing, then stumbling on the fact that it can't be true is very, very difficult, as you've perhaps noticed.
Yeah, I can't honestly say I'm at the point where I can say I think it isn't true. I think just being able to say it out loud and
just recognizing
not,
it as
yeah.
a process is huge. You see, recognizing it as a process says to me you have realized it. All of the pieces aren't in place yet. You're still seeing how that belief system plays out, and how it has informed your life, controlled your life, whatever. But you've already seen through it. Now it's just a matter of lining the pieces up.
Yeah, I've started trying to look for, you know, who these characters might be that are so busy trying to hide from the rest of the world that it's not true, but, you know, at the same time are kind of convincing, trying to convince me that it is true.
Oh.
You know, one of I haven't, you know, they don't have names. I'm not really sure about them yet.
It probably doesn't matter. The main thing to catch on to is how that's being done. Now, as you indicated, what are the things that they say? What's the feeling that goes with that? What's the behavior that follows it? So they say blah, 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 and you go, oh. And then you start scrambling around trying to hide this reality that's a non-reality. You know, and then they say this, and then you feel that way. And then you try to go over there and do that and hide out. And that, yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
So,
well, this is big.
Well, thank you. That's really encouraging that, you know, it might be on a track I should try and follow up on.
Absolutely. There's no might or maybe about it.
Yeah.
is a big one.
Wow. So
and as I say, I hope everyone listening is going to be looking for how they do this process that you're describing, because every human being is doing it.
Wow. I think the next thing I heard after I started realizing that I was hearing that, I started hearing a lot of, in all sorts of situations, well, it's your own damn fault. You know,
yeah.
You know, it's this way because it's just your problem. It's your fault. And you created that. And that over everywhere.
You.
Yeah.
I mean, that's again, that's clue one. Okay. Who is it that is in relationship in with you in your life, that they call you you, they accuse you of things, point the finger at you, call you names. I mean, what's with that?
I don't think I know yet who that is. I guess the next voice was, well, at least you're not looking for an external source to blame this on. But it also didn't seem very helpful to be looking to blame it on anyone,
that's
me
right.
or anyone
well,
else.
Although what you're meant to get from that, that it, so, well, at least you're not trying to blame it on somebody else. So that means we get to blame it on you.
Yeah.
But the important thing to get about this, and I realize it'll take a little work to do it, but you're ready. It's not true in the first place. So there's no reason to waste too much time blaming somebody for something that doesn't exist.
So you just, I just say no and block it out when I hear it? I mean.
Well, what I would encourage is some basic facilitation. So the voice says, well, you know, it's your own fault. You brought this on yourself. You're the one. And just reflect. So what I hear you saying is, that you're projecting that this is my fault. Did I get that right?
Okay.
Yeah. So instead of doing anything with it, I mean, here's a voice that calls you you and accuses you of things. If
right.
it were the next door neighbor, you would, you know, it might be annoying. You might stop talking to them. But you wouldn't necessarily think that it had very much to do with you.
Right. I probably would stop talking to them, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, you would. But this voice is inside your head, so it's a little trickier. And what you can do is just reflect. Instead of
so you're saying try and engage it in conversation.
Reflect it.
Reflect it.
Don't engage it. Don't engage
yeah.
it. Just basically say back to it what it says to you.
Okay.
You brought this on yourself. So what you're saying is, I brought this on myself. So what you're projecting onto me is that this is my fault. Okay? Just always clarify, reflect, don't get involved, don't take it on. Don't forget who's saying it. You're not saying it. A voice in your head is saying it.
Ah, right.
Yeah?
Right.
So the really interesting person in all of this, for you, I project, is the one who listens to it.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, I see that.
Yeah, because somebody is taking it in and believing it. And to that person, it's possible to say, you know, there's absolutely no evidence that there is a problem here.
Okay, so
yeah.
it can talk, and I just reflect back. And
that's right. Any voice that's calling you you, just reflect it.
Okay.
Right.
You're going
to report back, huh?
Sure.
Because this is going to be good. You're going to
okay.
have fun. You're going to have fun with this one. And regularly throughout your day or whenever, just remind yourself that there's this whole belief system that's in place that's being reinforced all the time, that you're missing some basic parts, that there's something fundamentally wrong with you. And remind yourself that except for those voices, there is no evidence that that is the case.
Okay.
All right. Have fun.
It's about time to have some fun with
it. All right. Good night.
Thank you very much.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good night, and thank you for joining us. Sherry, it seems like you're giving away the secrets of the universe here.
I know.
It's
Do you
really
think we should hang
great.
On to them?
It's really wonderful. And to I project the courage and the way you lay it out so clearly, it's just wonderful.
Good. Good. Well, it's not as complex as those voices are working so hard to make us believe it is. You know, the fundamental basic thing of convincing that there's a belief system that is in place for an awful lot of good people that there's something wrong with them. Just that. You know, as soon as you buy into that orientation to life, oh my God. And yet, there is no evidence that that's the case.
Yes. Yes. Because first you'd have to define what wrong is.
Yeah.
And you can't get an agreement on that.
That's right. And there can be all kinds of things. You know, I can get tired and cranky. I can yell at people. I can be self-serving. I can whatever it is. Okay. Is there any evidence that that makes me unique among humans? Or in fact, is it the case that we are all way more alike than not? You know, some of those characteristics are stronger in others than, you know. But I could also be so retiring that, you know, the car has run over my foot and parked on it, and I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to offend or upset somebody. Well, is that really that much better quality for me, for everybody else, than, you know, if I'm cranky and telling people to get away from me and leave me alone? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
so, yeah. How can there be something wrong when we are all so much alike? Seems like if we had a better definition of what the right human being would be, we'd all suffer and struggle a lot less.
Uh-huh. And as I think I've heard you say, we all, what's the word, despise the person who's the right person all the time?
Oh, damn. Yeah. Always completely put together, always cute, always clever, always well-dressed, always successful, always, 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 and we just hate them.
Yes.
Go on.
Sherry, we have about 7 minutes left, and we have many callers. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Peggy from Virginia.
Hey, Peggy.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
What's going on in Virginia?
We have been enjoying the blog. And
oh, good.
I especially love the little video clips that showed up this time.
Aha. Uh-huh.
They're great. And
did they show some cute people singing and dancing?
Oh, gosh. I want to be there, but if I can't be there, this is just the best it can get.
Oh, good, good.
It's
glad.
Being able to participate in the blog. That's great.
Good.
Earlier today, some things came up, and I was really jazzed about calling into the radio show, which has been really hard for me. And then a voice, then conditioning comes up and says, well, you know, it's just going to be conditioning that wants to talk. I said to it, well, then okay, that's just going to be the way it's going to be.
Uh-huh. And we'll all just listen to what conditioning has to
say.
And thanks for sharing.
Thanks for sharing. So a lot of this call is just to call in despite what conditioning has been saying to me this afternoon.
Yeah, and that's so perfect because, you know, all right, what if that were the case? So what?
I'm a conditioned human being.
That's right, and so conditioning is going to talk. Good. We'll all get a chance to hear it. All right.
And it's okay.
And it's fine.
It is okay.
Yeah, it's all okay.
But, I've been feeling like I had packed my bags and just moved into the dark room lately. Just just really in a uncomfortable place. And today it just sort of like some awarenesses sort of just floated in. And I just wanted to share my favorite awarenesses today.
Oh,
and, and you know what's so funny is it's the same stuff that you have said, you have written in your books, what the monks have said, and it's just like a light bulb goes off today, and I'm going, oh, you know, and it's like I just one of them then was that, you know, when I'm strongly identified with one of the subpersonalities, I really believe that's who I am.
Yes.
And that you know, and it's just and that just sunk in.
And that you actually saw that. You got that. You had
I got that experience. I got
that. Isn't that amazing?
And it was just like, wow. And in fact, I got some freezer paper out and I put it across my hearth with a big marker that said, this is not who I really am, because I know I'm going to be identified running around thinking that's who I really am. And hopefully I'll notice that banner.
Yes.
And it will help me disidentify.
Yeah, yeah. You know, one of the things that, just a little encouragement, that when you find yourself in the dark room,
uh-huh.
it's your best opportunity to map the dark room.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, here I am in the dark room. Okay, what does it feel like? You know, where are the edges? Where are the boundaries? You know, what does sound sound like in the dark room? Can I see anything, or is it all just darkness? You know, what happens if I move a little bit in this direction? What if I move a little bit in this direction? And it's so that your whole focus is on where you are with an attitude of mind of understanding or exploration. Acceptance, participation with where you are, instead of engaged with a voice that says, oh, you're in the wrong place, this is awful, you shouldn't be here, how do you get out of this, oh my God, you're stuck.
Yeah.
Instead, just say, all right, great. You know, I've wanted to know more. I've wanted to know more about this dark room. So now that I'm in here, I might as well take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Now, and of course, you can't do it for this reason, but it is the fastest way to find yourself popped out of it.
Okay. And another thing I saw today, which has been mentioned in the past, and I never saw it or acknowledged it or wanted to, but I'm seeing that there's a subpersonality who is in charge of my practice. And that, you know, this is a conditioned person. And she has an idea of what her practice should be, and she tries to arrange things in order to experience this practice the way she thinks it needs to be experienced, and which doesn't always go the way she wants it to go.
Right.
And then the other thing that fell in right with that is that no matter what's happening, that everything is right there. You say it all the time, and it just like that's what she means, that life is always giving me what I need, you know, to wake up and end suffering. And I don't have to be somewhere. I don't have to, you know, have something, or, you know, I don't even need to have clarity, but whatever is in front of me, it is what I need. Is life is giving me what I need.
Yeah, and that is such a it's such an important point, because as long as we are allowing even an aspect of the personality to be in charge of our practice, of course, we are really living in ego.
Yes.
And ego is in charge of our practice. So what we can start to see is, well, the content is different, but the process is the same.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah. It's just so that when it's about practice or when it's God or when it's, you know, that sort of thing, then people think different rules apply.
That it's okay, even if somebody's beating me over the head by the fact that, you know, that my telling me how my meditation period was stonk and
yeah.
or that I was mean to that person, and if I was if I was a compassionate person, really, I never would have done that, you know. And it's just like this. It's just like self-hate has taken over the
yep.
dialogue of practice.
Yep.
And using it against me.
Yep. Good to see,
and
isn't it?
It's good to see.
Yeah.
It's really
very, very hard to step free of it because the content is so real, so compelling. You know, it's okay if we're talking about work, but we're talking about God. I mean, how can I? But we're not. It has nothing to do with practice or service or God or awakening or anything else. It doesn't. It's just that's what conditioning is using, because that's what I'll go along with.
And sometimes, you know, when I get into taking the role of the mentor, or when I hear a voice say, "Well, you didn't do that right," you know, it's like I'm almost afraid that the voice of self-hate is going to pretend to be the mentor.
Oh, it will before it's over, I can promise you. So, but here's the good news. You're on to it. So, you know, it might fool you for a little while, but before long, in this same way, you'll go, "Now, wait a minute. The mentor is kind. That wasn't kind.
Yeah.
Therefore,"
yeah.
I suspect that wasn't the
mentor. It doesn't give constructive criticism.
No, it does not. No, it does not. Nope,
yeah.
There's none of that for your own good.
Sneaking in there.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
And it will. It'll try everything. But that's okay, because the point of this whole adventure, as far as I can tell, is for you, in this case, to wake up and end suffering. So that's not going to happen. That's not going to be complete until nothing can trip you up. And what you're doing now is systematically working through all of the things that could trip you up. And when there are none left, you don't have to worry about being tripped up, and you'll be free.
Well,
isn't that good?
I'm very grateful.
Yep.
It's
a good system.
I'm just very grateful.
Yep, me too. I know what you mean.
Thank you so much, Sherry.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Peggy. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, it's well past 6 o'clock.
Ooh, ow. Does that make us bad people or just long-winded?
It's long-winded, as far as I can tell.
Okay, well, that's a good thing. All right. Thanks,
We've
Michael.
Been accused of that before.
Yes, this wouldn't be the first time.
Sherry, it's great to have you back.
Thank you, Michael.
Great to have all of our callers and all of our listeners, and we'll do this again.
All right.
Thank
good
you.
Night.
Good night.